Jesus said to his friends what he says to you now. Don't let your heart be troubled. You trust God. Trust also in me. And remarkably, he said these words just as he went to die. He was going through the three most famous days in human history. They actually had their own title, the Triduum, the 3 days. Friday is the day he went to the cross. On Friday, Jesus died. Sunday was the greatest day in the history of the world, just as Friday was the darkest day. On Sunday, the stone was rolled away. Nobody saw that coming. And it's important for this message. I want to give kind of extended thoughts on the middle day. It's important to remember that they did not know what we know. There's a historian, Antonia Frazier, who said that we have to remember history is a story that has not yet unfolded to the people walking through it. That we know Henry VIII had 6 wives, but Henry VIII didn't know that. Well, nobody saw Sunday coming. Sunday was a day of such unexpected, death-defying, grave-defeating, fear-destroying, joy-producing, life-giving, transcendent hope that the world has yet to get over it. Pentecostals are still shouting about it. Charismatics are still dancing because of it. Baptists are still amening it. Presbyterians are still studying it. Episcopalians are still toasting it with sherry. Anybody got any problems? Anybody need any help? Anybody want to know how life can get resurrected? That's a Sunday topic, and Easter Sunday's coming. But what I want to talk about now is not Sunday and not Friday. It's Saturday. The day after this, but the day before that. The day after a prayer gets asked, but before a prayer gets answered. After a life gets crushed, but before it gets lifted up. It's the day in between despair and joy, in between brokenness and healing, in between utter confusion and blinding clarity, in between bad news and good news, in between death and life. Saturday is in between day. What happened on Saturday? What happened on Saturday? Nothing. At the heart of the story of Jesus, at the heart of human history are these 3 days. And the first day and the third day are so packed with action and emotion and detail that we could talk about them for a year and not scratch the surface. They are literally the two most studied, two most talked about, two most written about days in human history. On Good Friday, our sins were paid for. On Easter Sunday, our hope was brought to life. Saturday is the day without a name. The day of God's silence. The day when nothing happened. How often do you hear a message about this Saturday? What happened today on earth? I want to mention a book that I'm indebted for these extended reflections by Alan Lewis. I'll come back to this. Between Cross and Resurrection, A Theology of Holy Saturday. And he includes here words that were written more than 1,600 years ago about this day. What happened today on earth? There is a great silence. A great silence and stillness. A great silence because the king sleeps. God has died in the flesh, and hell trembles with fear. He has gone to search for our first parent as for a lost sheep. Words that come from roughly about the 4th century. And what I want to do is to look at Saturday, not from our perspective, but as it was for the people who lived it. Because we have to live our life, not yet knowing the end of our stories. So, Saturday, the disciples have not slept for 2 straight days. By the time they collapse on Friday night, they wake up Saturday morning. The city that was screaming for blood the day before is quiet. The crowds have disbanded. Jesus is dead. Jerusalem is still. What do? Well, they gather together, quietly maybe. They remember. That's what we do when we go through a great grief. They remember what it felt like when this Jesus the most brilliant and best man they ever heard, chose them to be his disciples, and they thought they were going to change the world. Maybe they talk about what went wrong. None of them wants to say this, but in their hearts, they're trying to come to grips with this unthinkable thought: Jesus failed. He did not gain enough followers. He didn't win over the chief priests. He didn't find a way to make peace with Rome or overcome them. He didn't get enough ordinary people to understand his message. He didn't even train his disciples to be courageous at the moment of greatest crisis. And the worst moment of all is when he was on the cross. And he did not say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he did not say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then he died. So if the best man in the world, if the person closer to God than anybody who had ever lived, could know failure and humiliation and then feel abandoned by God and then die, where's the hope? Then they remember their own failure. Judas betrayed him. They remember in the garden, Judas betrayed Jesus by giving him a kiss. That was the mark of an honor when a disciple went to greet his rabbi. Have you ever heard the expression, the kiss of death? That's where it comes from. And amazing, they remember what Jesus called Judas. This is Matthew 26, verse 50. "Friend, do what you came for." Jesus called Judas friend. They remember this. It's written down. Jesus said the kingdom of God belonged to people who love their enemies. He said the meek will inherit the earth. And they remember he was meek and it got him 6 feet of earth. Peter remembers how three times he said, "I never knew the man. I never knew the man. I never knew the man." They all remember how they deserted when the soldiers came. Everybody fled. Mark 14, 50. Saturday is the day after your best dream died, and you wake up, you have to go on, but you don't know how, and you don't know why. And of course, this raises the question, why is there a Saturday? It doesn't further the story. If Jesus is going to be resurrected, we would think, being time-conscious people, why not get on with it? Just die on the cross, then boom, resurrection. Why is it two events, but 3 days? And there is a reason. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, "For what I received, I also passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and then that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." He points out for a second time, this is according to the Scriptures, this third day thing. Why? Well, it turns out the Old Testament is filled with what might be called third day stories. So in Genesis 42, Joseph's brothers get put into prison and then released on the third day. In Joshua 2, the Israelite spies are told by Rahab to hide from their enemies till they will be safe on the third day. I do this because I can't do this. It takes me forever. When Esther hears that her people are to be killed, she fasts and prays, and on the third day, the king receives her favorably. When Abraham is afraid he's going to have to sacrifice his son Isaac, it's on the third day he sees the sacrifice that saves the life of his son. There's a bunch more. This is such a recurring pattern that the prophet Hosea says, "Come, let us return to the Lord. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence." There's a kind of an order here. On the first day, there's trouble. On the second day, there's still trouble. You can't make it go away. You can't solve it. And then on the third day comes deliverance, and God does the deliverance. Here's the problem. You don't know. It's a third day story. Until the third day. When it's the second day, you don't know that deliverance is ever going to come. It might be just a one-day story, trouble, and that trouble may last the rest of your life. This past weekend, as I'm telling you all about this, there was the Masters Golf Tournament. Some of you, if you're a golf fan, might have watched it. Rory McIlroy, he's on the brink of a kind of immortality, becoming one of a very select number, I think six people who have won the career Grand Slam in golf, but he hadn't won a major title in a decade, which is the longest drought, and has never won the Masters. And then that final round starts with a double bogey, and then he makes up ground, and then another double bogey, and then he's about to win it, and then he's lost it, and then he's at the 18th, and he's just got a short putt, and then he misses it. And that's like, you can't tell, is it going to be one day? It ends up being a third-day story, but you don't know till the 19th hole. On the other hand, I grew up outside of Chicago, and the Cubs went more than 100 years where they did not win a World Series. I knew of people who were born and lived and died Cub fans, and it was just one day the whole rest of their lives. Jesus has to experience the agony of Friday, and then comes Saturday. I said before, Saturday is the day when nothing happens. That's not quite right. Saturday is the day of silence. After trouble hits you, and you may know about this. If you don't yet, you will eventually. When trouble hits, when the pain of Friday comes, you call out to God, help me, save me, hear me, act, do something. On Saturday, nothing. Now, in addition to the pain in my life, there is the pain of the absence of God. C.S. Lewis, great Christian thinker and writer, wrote his memoirs about coming to faith in Jesus, and he called that book Surprised by Joy. He got the title from a poem by Wordsworth, and the book is about how his love of joy ultimately led him to Christ. But there's a little more to it than that. When he wrote the book, he was a confirmed bachelor. He is well into his 50s, but he had met a woman in his late 50s who he would marry. And as you may know, her name was Joy. So his friends said, you really were surprised by Joy. They thought it was a very funny joke. Not enough funny to make anybody laugh in our day, but they liked it. After a lifetime of waiting, Lewis was given only a few years of happiness with her. And then she got cancer and she died a very painful death. And he wrote another book, only this one does not have joy in the title. This is called A Grief Observed. Here's what C.S. Lewis, this master writer of the Christian faith, wrote. When you are happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing him, so happy that you are tempted to feel his claims upon you as an interruption, if you remember yourself and turn to him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate and when all other help is in vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of bolting, a double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. You may as well turn away. The longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence will become. What can this mean? Why is he so present a commander in our time of prosperity and so very absent a help in time of trouble? I wonder what your Saturday is. I think of so many of you that I know and love. I think of a husband and a dad who wanted more than anything in the world to be able to save his marriage and did everything he could think of to do it and could not do it. I think about a mom and a dad who had a child that had a terminal illness and they prayed like crazy. Nothing. Think about a terrific guy I know who meets a woman he's been waiting for his whole life long, and when his heart is totally vulnerable, she just says, no thanks. People who get the very diagnosis they dread. Talked to a new friend very recently who has had to go through an unexplained estrangement with a beloved child for many years. You lose a job. You lose a friend. You have a dream for your family or a dream for your work or a dream for your faith, and on Friday the dream dies. What do you do on Saturday? Well, there are three options. One option is despair. If you choose despair, you decide it will always and forever be Friday, only ever Friday. And interestingly, there were some in the early church that went this direction. Paul writes to them in his letter to first letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 15, verse 12. How can some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? Because some people were saying that. No hope, no victory. Nothing to look forward to. Just get used to it. That's despair. Another option is denial. Look for simplistic explanation, superstitious faith, easy answers, artificial pleasantness, forced optimism, cliched formulas, false triumphalism. And there were some people who went through this route. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, some have wandered away from the truth. They teach that the resurrection has already taken place. Some people said, hey, it's already Sunday, already resurrection time. So if you're having any problems, if any of your prayers are not getting answered, if you're sick and not getting your healing, you know, if you're working and not experiencing your prospering, if you're not filling whatever the blanket is, you just don't have enough faith. Get with the program. Resurrection already happened. Despair, denial, or a third option, you can wait. Wait on the Lord. I know. Not what we're hoping for. Now, this is real important. Wait on the Lord has nothing to do with passivity. It means whatever I do while I am waiting on that which I cannot control, I do it together with Him. I work with Him and I rest with Him. And I try to learn and I wrestle with Him and I ask questions of Him and I complain to Him. And I will tell you a secret, gang. You can be with God on Saturday in a way that you cannot on any other day. Because on Saturday, you know, He is your only hope. If not Him, there is no option B. If you want to know what in-between looks like, you might think of a guy on a trapeze who has let go of one bar and is waiting to be caught. Every now and has that wonderful line that he learned from the flying Robleys that he just was enamored with in the last year of his life. There's flyers and there are catchers and everybody cheers for the flyers, but the real hero, he is told, is the catcher. And a flyer can't do anything, but a flyer tries to do anything, make it happen. He's going to end up with broken wrists and it'll be a disaster. A flyer must fly and the catcher must catch and the flyer must trust with outstretched arms that the catcher will be there waiting for him. What if the catcher is not strong enough that Saturday? Jesus enters into the death of Saturday. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew that there is one sign that might penetrate our impatient world. He says it's the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, this question often comes up because this is another three-day story. I will say just a word about how the Bible calculates time. Because some folks will ask, if Jesus died on a Friday and rose on a Sunday, he was only in a tomb for two nights, so Jesus was wrong about this. Even in our day, we will calculate time in different ways. For example, and this is purely hypothetical, imagine a pastor's wife with three small children who are lots of work, and her husband, who is normally an enormous help around the house, has to go on a trip. He leaves early on a Friday morning. He comes back late on a Sunday night, and she says to him, "You were gone 3 days." And he says, No. I was home on Friday, and then I got home again on Sunday. I was only gone on one day, Saturday." Who's right? She's right. Why? She's always right. The Hebrew system was called inclusive. That is, they would count all of every day that was involved in an event. So this is Jesus' way of saying, my story is like your story, like Jonah's story. It's a three-day story. Jesus does this as a gift for you and me. Friday is behind us. Sunday hadn't come yet, not for me. The ground still produces thorns. We still face Pilate and Herod. Our bodies age. The people that we love die or are lost to us. We live between Friday and Saturday. We live between Friday and Sunday. We live in a Saturday world. But here's the thing. In the silence and the darkness and the confusion and the pain, God is somehow at work, even on Saturday, maybe in the deepest and most mysterious ways at all, so don't you give up. The Apostles' Creed, as you may know, says that after Jesus was buried, he descended into hell. This is taken partly from a very enigmatic verse that was written by Peter, 1 Peter 3. When Christ was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago. Now, what exactly did that mean? I don't know exactly what that means. I'm not sure Peter wrote it. I don't know if he knows exactly what it means. But somehow, apparently, what he did on the cross will not only save those who come after him, but even those who lived and died before him. Somehow it is cosmic, bigger than all of space and bigger than all of time. A great silence, because the king sleeps. God has died in the flesh, and hell trembles with fear. He has gone to search for our first parent as for a lost sheep. Here's what Peter knows. Jesus will go to any lengths to save anybody. On Saturday, Peter lived in the hell of guilt and self-contempt. He's the man who denied Jesus 3 times. That little number again. Jesus came into Peter's hell. Buddy, I'm taking you back. Now, this goes about as deep as we can go. Jesus is God incarnate. I think sometimes, from a human standpoint, we reckon the miraculous day is Sunday, when the man Jesus is raised from the dead. From heaven's standpoint, I wonder if the greater miracle isn't Saturday. You might remember when Jesus was born, the skies are filled with the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest," because that little baby is Emmanuel, God in a manger. Now the angels watch and see what? God dying on a cross? God buried in a tomb? The miracle of Sunday is that a dead man lives. Miracle of Saturday is that the living God dies and defeats death, not by his invincibility, but by his submitting to it. He did not survive the grave, he died. So, if you can find him in a grave, if you can find him in death, if you can find him in hell, where can you not find him? So whatever your failure, whatever your pain, whatever your ache, whatever your heartbreak, whatever your difficulty, it's just Saturday. It's just Saturday. I mentioned this book, Between Cross and Resurrection. It's a really interesting treatment of Holy Saturday. It was considered the culmination of the scholarly work by the man who wrote it, Alan Lewis. While he was working on it, he was diagnosed with cancer. And well before it was published, he died. So he ended up writing, towards the back of what is otherwise a very scholarly book, a very anguished account of what does it mean for a personal life to walk through Saturday. And it closes with this prayer. So I want to offer it for you and for me. God, hear our prayer for a world still living an Easter Saturday existence. Oppressed and lonely, guilty of godlessness, and convinced of God-forsakenness. Be still tomorrow the God you are today, and yesterday already were. God with us in the grave, but pulling thus the sting of death, and promising in your final kingdom an even greater victory of abundant grace and life over the magnitude of sin and death, and for your blessed burial, into which we were baptized, may you be glorified forevermore. Amen. Don't let your heart be troubled.
Hey, before you click off, go ahead and hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel. That'll help us reach more folks. Become New is dedicated to growing spiritually one day at a time, and we do that through brief teachings each weekday. So if you subscribe, you won't miss any future episodes, and we'd love to hear from you. So you can chime in the comments here, or if you're not a part of our Facebook group, right now we're doing something interesting. I'm posting a video there each day to correspond with the video that's released here, with a question that you can engage with, and I'd love to have you add your voice to that conversation. So you can find the link to that Facebook group in the description below. You can also find the link to follow us on Instagram or X, where we post regular inspirational posts throughout the week to encourage you in your spiritual growth journey. If you have a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday to pray for viewers just like yourself. So be sure to not carry that burden alone. We would love to come alongside you. You can text your request to the number 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.